I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's the matter, little girl?
My dog has been killed.
Oh, no. That's terrible news. You don't seem that upset.
No, I'm going to make a film about him so the memory of him lives forever.
How are you going to be able to afford to do that?
Well, I'm getting funding from Her Film Project, a unique organisation who helps underrepresented voices make films.
Oh, that's nice of them. What was your dog called?
He was called Shithead.
What? Oh, anyway, look, I better go. It's time for this. Hello, listeners. People who are still listening. Yes, we're deep into the Yuletide season. Merry Christmas to you all. And for people who aren't listening, happy day to you. Well, without further ado, my guest today is none other than, I think, one of the most regular guests, a member of the Penny Dreadfuls and a superb actor and human being. It is Tom Tuck.
Hello,
Tom. Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, it's my first time in the new format.
Well, I mean, this won't last for long, this format.
Oh, God.
No dogs barking in the background, though.
No, it's quite peaceful.
Very peaceful. Perfect recording on bronze. And a lot of the films you recommend, Tom, have been enjoyed by a number of our listeners.
That's good.
What was the one, the weird African one?
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Still, one of the strangest films.
It is brilliant,
I've
isn't
ever
it?
Seen.
And it's nice to just go back and watch, because I watched it first when I was a kid, and I didn't question it, but you go back watching it when you know things about films and you go, this is completely insane.
But enjoyable.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's great fun.
I think that's insanity, which is enjoyable. And most superhero films are far more insane than that, if you think the plots of what happens in them.
Yeah, but it's insane by committee, which is just like, which isn't enjoyable. This is insane from the mind of one person, and you can see that.
But there was a sequel, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
The Gods, was it called The Gods Must Be Crazy Too?
Yes, it was.
Perfect. I mean, when you've got a title that works perfectly,
why
don't
change?
Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. I don't think I've seen that one. I must get around to seeing that.
It's not quite as strange. It doesn't start off as a nature documentary.
Yeah. That all films should start like that in my book. Mm. Anyway, I feel quite guilty because I succumbed to...
You succumbed?
To the film that everyone is going to see, but it's pretty much dominates. I looked at the times for cinema films, and unless you want to watch one showing in a small screen at 9:25 of The Disaster Artist, which I thought of going to see, the only film you can see is, I don't know, what is it called, The Last Jedi? Star Wars : The Last Jedi. Now, I must ask before we get into it, are you a Star Wars fan?
Relatively.
What does that mean?
I like it. I don't dislike it.
Do you like
it? I didn't see the third of the prequels. Never have, never will.
Me the same? Is that what people say these days?
Yeah, I think so.
Me the same.
I watched Phantom Menace, like,
rubbish.
And then Attack of the Clones, I think, is that what the name was called?
Jar Jar Binks was in it. It was really annoying in that one.
But I went to see that uni at, was it midnight? When it came out?
Probably 1 minute past midnight.
Yeah, bunch of people. And it was such dog shit. But then two of the people who watched it enjoyed it. And were like, oh, how are you so blinkered? So I'm not that level of fan.
I have ignored that whole series. I mean, I went to see the original. I think I saw Empire Strikes Back when it first came out. Was it 1981 or something? And Return of the Jedi, which I remember enjoying when I was about seven. Especially the pit with the teeth and the whole Jabba the Hutt thing. But I'm not. I wouldn't classify myself as a fan whatsoever.
I prefer Trek.
Trek?
If you're going to pick Star Wars.
Oh, Star Trek. I'm not a fan of that either. I'm not a fan of much, Tom, to be fair.
I know, I listen to the podcast.
grumpy Brit. Now, I did watch, however, the last Star Wars one, which everyone was saying was a safe sort of remake of the original Star Wars.
Not the last ones, because I haven't seen Rogue One.
Rogue One's a spin-off one, I think, isn't it? This is Chapter 7, or forgive me if you're a Star Wars fan, but I don't really give a shit about it. I mean, the last one was the first three were 4, 5 and 6.
Yeah.
The really shit ones were 1, 2 and 3, mm-hmm. and now we're on
8.
7, 8 and 9. And so this 7 I watched and felt as though, you said your dad said...
He went, well, we all came out and were like, oh, that's all right. It's all right, I suppose. And Dad went, it's exactly the same as the first one.
And that is the perfect synopsis of that film.
Nothing else needed to be said.
Yeah, exactly the same, but probably with less charm.
Yeah.
Because
all the wipes and the transitions and stuff are really charming in the first three.
Hmm.
Because it feels alien. Odd word to use, but it does feel sort of naive and childish. And Lucas, I think, was naive and childish.
Yeah.
Whereas now they have to have these transitions in, otherwise it's not a Star Wars film.
That's what's really weird. And you've got the special effects now.
Wipe.
Yeah. And it just looks so out of place.
And the first one came really late on in this one, didn't it?
Yeah, but when you notice them, they're quite jarring.
You see the one where it zoomed into his fist?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
So yeah, the weird transitions are really jarring and when they've updated everything else.
Anyway, Jar Jar Binksing.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binksing. So let's talk about this. Star Wars The Last Jedi. Do you want to do a synopsis of it, Tom?
Oh!
That's how I feel.
And Rey, who at the end of the previous one has found Luke Skywalker on an island with animals. Which we didn't know there were animals before. Now we know there are animals there.
Like an old people saying for superheroes.
Yeah, but also then there's the one he milked.
That was one of my favourite moments.
And then the iron was the best moment.
Yeah, they were the two
moments. We both really enjoyed the iron.
The two best moments in the film.
So she then tried to convince Luke Skywalker to train her to be a Jedi. And concurrently, there's a big ship doing shooting at this little ship.
I was reading, watching Robert Rodriguez's film and reading about him making a film called El Mariachi
which is one of my favourite movies of all time.
And he made it for $7,000.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, in that film, he said he couldn't think, apparently, when he came around to write this film, it was a really low budget film, and he could only think of a half an hour plot for this film. So he decided to repeat that three times and change it slightly differently. This film is possibly the same thing happening 20 times? It feels like 20 times.
There's so few scenes with proper stakes.
Yes. It was all back referencing or just exposition.
The bit where neither of them could hold onto the lightsaber, you're like, which is two people going, straining like they need a shit at each other.
That was a real shit face, yeah. So what happens? I mean, is it spoilers? Probably not. It's just basically...
It doesn't really matter.
The Rebel Alliance trying to escape the... what are they called, the bad guys? I mean, what are they called? Star Bastards.
The first something?
The Star Bastards.
Yep.
Darth Vader and the Star
Bastards. The Sky Cunts.
Yeah. They're trying to escape them. And then they escape them. Then they have to escape them again. Then they have to escape them again.
Literally the plot is, and they keep Adrian Edmondson keeps explaining this.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, they're going fast enough for us not to be able to hit them properly. And so there's just, like, it's not even a chase scene. It's just two spaceships moving slowly.
Yeah. What's really weird is the warp speed thing. When they come in and they appear and stop.
But that's sort of been done a few times.
Has it?
Yeah.
I think I don't really like that. And then they just stand there and wait for someone to attack. And for some reason, on every big ship, no one has built a system to detect anything small. And I mean, by small, I mean a double-decker bus-sized ship entering. There's no system for them. They've got big cannons, but we won't. In case someone, you can drive a double-decker bus ship in through the air vent, and it's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's so silly.
Did you enjoy the film?
I thought it was fine. Probably 5 toms maybe.
It's about an hour too long.
Yeah, and it kept like ending and then carrying on.
Yeah,
although I didn't mind the very last little image.
Yes, I think it definitely feels as though Disney have tried to disguise a sci-fi film. It feels very Disney. It's not even sci-fi. Well, no, it's just a kid's film. I'm watching. I thought, actually, if I switch this in my head and think this is not a sci-fi film, it's a children's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the first three aren't sci-fi films.
What?
They're space adventures.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Sci-fi takes, you know, like one twist and then follows it through. Like it's a thought experiment almost. That's what sci-fi is.
I've been getting it. So everyone classifies it as sci-fi. Don't
yeah, they're fucking idiots.
So what you're saying is that I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, yeah.
Well, at least I've learned. So it's a space adventure.
Yeah, it's a Western in the stars.
Yeah, so it's a space adventure. It's a children's space adventure, which I think has literally had its balls cut off by Disney. So it's appealing to their family.
It really surprised me when it said written and directed by Rian Johnson. It's like, there's no way one person wrote that.
There
was absolutely no way that didn't have, if not 900 people putting their oar in, an algorithm doing it.
It does feel like it's written by a computer, and with occasionally just enough characters so they can sell some figures of them. Like the poor character, there's a sort of weird bird cute thing that lives on the island. There is no point for that character other than to flog cuddly toys. Surely that's the only reason.
They are they're pretty funny. I can imagine kids finding it really funny.
They probably look support, whereas make something really cute and then but not annoying enough to make it Jar Jar Binksy.
Yeah. But like on the island, okay. So
it looks got Skywalker's.
It looks like there's nothing on the island.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the last film.
Yeah.
Then it turns out there's basically a village and a hole and a tree with books in and the porgs and whatever the green milked thing was and the race of
toad people
who are just there for like other comic relief.
I did think in terms of there were quite a lot of comic moments in
quite a few funny bits.
There was one brilliant, the iron moment, which is we won't spoil, was the best bit in the film by about 20 merit points.
But by the same time, there were actually some dialogue bits that actually felt.
Mark Hamill was almost at the start quite.
He was
grumpy, but quite jokey man.
Yeah,
and I think Daisy Ridley is
not
lacking
great
in charisma, and her voice doesn't have any. A lot of the time, it does sound like what robots are saying the lines.
No weight to it at all. I really enjoyed Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro is great, and I have to say, the best actor in the film by a long way was Adam Driver, who I think is brilliant and watchable in any film. And he gives it that depth to Kylo Ren.
A couple of lines where you go like, it doesn't feel right. Like throwaway things.
But they felt as though someone had gone in and said, oh, right, we need to say this line here. We need to explain this. You can't be rude. You have to say, you have to tell what the story is so people can follow. It just felt like quite. yeah, I think a Disney space adventure that really doesn't have anything.
What about that bit when they're like, oh, we need to get into there and like disable all the stuff, and then
we can never get in, and then everyone looks at C-3PO, and then it cuts to a phone call they're having with some woman from the previous film, the tiny space.
Oh,
and then you've got to find this guy. He's in a casino. Why? What?
Yeah,
what's going on?
That was really weird. I mean, the plot is nonsensical. And as usual, in every superhero film or every space adventure film, anything could happen at any point. And there's no sense of drama because it's
just there's no sense of purpose to the plot either. It's not like even something as simple as you have a MacGuffin and you follow it fucking through.
Yeah.
It's a MacGuffin. Oh, I've dropped it. Oh, there's another one. Let's go pick up that MacGuffin and throw it at Mr. Plotface. And what the...
I was watching it thinking, I'm quite glad that I'm never going to watch this film ever again.
I am going to have to watch it again.
Are you?
I think because of all my siblings and I'm going to go...
Oh, God. How are you going to enjoy that? Endure, sorry.
Probably get drunk.
The word was endure. Anyway, you give it 4 or 5 Toms.
Yeah, probably 5 because the funny bits are funny.
There are funny bits. Obviously, it's quite well done because it cost $200 million or whatever it costs. So you can't... It has to look good. And some of the starfight shooting scenes are good if you like that sort of thing. I actually enjoyed the start of it. I thought that was quite good, the first shooting up scene. But I always find it quite funny how no one is really that upset when loads of the fleet get killed.
We don't know any of them yet.
No one's upset when loads of the fleet get killed, but they're really pleased when they get reunited with a robot they haven't seen for three or 4 weeks. Very odd. I would give it 5 Mareks. Really average escapade that doesn't deserve dominating our cinemas.
Mm. Watch The Gods Must Be Crazy instead.
Yeah, watch that instead. Take your kids to watch that on YouTube and tell your kids it's the latest Star Wars and they won't know. They won't know the difference.
If you just put some foil on the telly.
Foil on the telly.
And then it looks like they're all in space costumes.
It could feasibly be Star Wars 9. Alright, well, that's super. Let's go on to the letter section.
People like writing letters, letters.
A lot of people like doing the singing for this bit. It could be a chart hit. Anyway, this is from John Brain, who writes in with a good movie to watch. Dear Mark, I'm enjoying the new show. Congrats to David Danielle on the new baby. I want to recommend the website agoodmovietowatch.com, which basically makes it easy to find great movies on Netflix. Finally.
Mm.
Have you got Netflix?
Yes.
What's your technique for finding good films?
Think of an actor I like I haven't seen all the movies of. Type them in.
I go to critically acclaimed movies.
I go like just Philip Seymour Hoffman. I reckon he's got a movie I haven't seen.
Foreign independent films.
Mm-hmm.
Always good. Anyway, I'll continue with John Brain's letter. Here are two movies I found on it that I haven't heard mentioned on the show yet, which I think you really like. They're both low-budget independent movies, have great script, dialogue and performances. The first one is Blue Jay, about two old flames who bump into each other and hang out for the evening.
Another blue film.
Yeah, it's got blue in it. It must be
must
good.
Be good.
It sounds a bit like, what's the one with Ethan Hawke and... Ujima Flip.
Is that the Blue Room?
No, one where they meet each other for one night and they... For,
oh, yeah, it's before sunrise sunset, and before bum, sunset.
Before bumming and stuff like that.
Bumming sunset.
Blue bumming sunset.
And they bum into the sunset.
Can you bum into the sunset? Make a great
fine
image.
On horseback.
Be a great fine image, that, wouldn't it? Right, I'll write that down in my notes for Bowie Man. Sorry, John. Your second recommendation is Coherence, which revolves around a dinner party and strange events that unfold as a comet passes Earth. Keep watching the films. I think I've seen Coherence, which is really... And I think I reviewed it. I'm not sure if it is the one I reviewed, but who knows? Anyway, here's another letter. Would you like to read it, Tom?
Yes, do you want me to do a voice?
We stopped doing that because a few people said they found it annoying. So we'd do normal voices. I mean, unless they find our normal voices annoying, which we're in big bother.
I can't imagine that.
No.
Happening, no. Dear Merrick and other person, I watched most of Dune last night. I got about an hour and a half into it before falling asleep. I don't think I'll bother with the rest of it, as I didn't really know what was going on. Something about fat, spicy space worms. Have you or your guest ever seen Dune? Is the last half hour any good? Are there any other good films about big worms? Congratulations, David, and good luck with the show's new format. I like the quiz, and think you should keep doing it. Keep watching the films. Callum.
Have you seen Dune?
A long time ago. Only because I like David Lynch, so I thought I'd be completist about it.
I have done the same thing as Callum. Watched the first hour, didn't really know what's going on. But I've also read the first 200 pages of Frank Herbert's Dune. Have you read that at all? And that is they're a bit like Game of Thrones in really, it's in-depth politics set on this island with spice. It's more of a sort of House of Cards type dense fantasy. So when they turn that into a film, it's impossible to, because I know they're going to make it quite a few times. I mean, Dune would be, have they remade it into a series? I've got a feeling they might have done. But it was a perfect sort of fodder for a great Netflix HBO-y series. Yeah. So, Dune.
Tremors?
I was going to say that. That is the best film of worms, surely.
Surely.
A really underrated film, isn't it?
I haven't seen it for years and years and years, but I remember enjoying it.
I enjoyed it, and then I watched it again thinking, oh, this was that rubbish film I saw, and I was surprised. It's one of Kevin Bacon films are normally surprisingly entertaining. Before he started doing EE adverts.
Poor fella.
Poor fella with his really old neck.
But you know what happened to him?
What, his neck got on? Neck got done.
Well, I think that might be stress induced because he had all his money invested with Bernie Madoff.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this.
Yeah, he lost.
Who's Bernie Madoff?
The pyramid scheme guy.
And Kevin Bacon had all his money in that?
A lot of his money invested with this.
I feel bad for him now because I've been mocking him from his EE adverts. He's probably penniless.
Well, yeah. I think he's probably been well remunerated for them.
I mean, he must get about $1 million for that. It must have been a 5-year contract.
Because he's done loads.
For about 5 years?
Yeah.
Do you reckon he really needed the money? He said, we'll give you $1 million if you sign up for 5 years. And he thought, oh, shit. And now he's really regretting it.
I reckon he doesn't come to the UK as much as he probably would.
Anyone who knows Kevin Bacon,
I mean, we must know someone, or somebody knows someone, or somebody knows someone who's someone.
Oh, well, here we go. Christopher Dodd, who is fast becoming one of the most right-journey people. Mentoring of
is it going to be a three-way runoff?
Well, between Christopher Webb and
Martin Appleyard.
I've not heard from Martin Appleyard for quite some time.
Probably dead.
Well, that, or he's got
Martin Graveyard.
Let's try and keep it Christmassy, please. Christopher Dodd writes about The Last Jedi, which we have just seen. So let's see what he had to say. Hi, Merrick. Keep it going with the show. It's helping me get through a very difficult mental episode at the moment. I can't think of anyone who would think, oh, I've got severe mental issues. I know I'll put Film Fandango on. Maybe Whale Songs, but Whale Songs better.
Whale Song?
With more soothing, isn't it?
I don't know. Sometimes you just need voices you recognise rather than the language of a massive mammal you don't understand.
Yeah, maybe listen to this and think, oh, right, it's not that bad after all. It's not as bad as that.
Not as bad as whatever the episode's going on in Marek's head.
I could sound like that bloke who looks like he's eating a bag of gravel. Right, went to see The Last Jedi. Audience was full of die-hard single men, but despite this, there was still one cock candle, good name, near me regularly checking and texting on his mobile phone. Well, it's completely understandable, isn't it? He can't be at his phone for 2.5 hours. He's really important and his messages are a matter of life and death. In fact, the whole of civilization is depending on him to keep on texting, so I didn't say anything and secretly thanked him for supporting society in such a brave and unselfish way. The film itself was pants, and that's not a spoiler. Worst Star Wars film I've ever seen. Me and you, Matt, could have made better. It was that bad. Kind regards, Chris.
Well, it sounds like a bit of an insult to you there.
Well, yeah, it is bad, yeah. It's saying I can't make a better film than Star Wars. I mean, I could probably...
I mean, it's definitely not as bad as Attack of the Clones.
No, I don't think it is the worst Star Wars film ever.
Or Phantom Menace.
Yeah, they're both awful.
or the last one.
Maybe people attach some sort of... I thought it was better than the last one.
Because there was nothing funny in the last one, I don't...
The last one was just basically a remake, you know, without taking any risks at all. But people talk about this Star Wars film as though it's a big risk-taking film and it's somehow muddied the franchise or stained the franchise. There weren't really any risks I could see in that film.
I've been trying to avoid people, but it just, if you look on Facebook at all at the moment, you're going to see someone saying something about it.
Mm.
And someone's going, yeah, it's clearly a socialist film. I'm like, fuck off.
People are quite vitriolic against it, and I find that fascinating because there's not enough there to make me feel anything in particular.
Yeah, it was sort of funny in bits, and there were a couple cool images, and that's about all.
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear some bad news?
Oh.
That's about all for the letters.
Oh, no.
We run out of letters.
Oh, God.
Do you know anyone who's good at writing?
Do they have to write it out by hand? Because no, it's a lost art.
This is what you do, Tom. What a segue. What a great segue. If you want to contact us, go to Dear Film... No, go to...
Go to Dear/Films.
This is the reason why people have written... Some poor bloke has received thousands of emails. Go to filmfandango.com or .co.uk. Click on the contact button. Write in the subject. Write in your letter. They're all very gratefully received. Or you can email dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Yes, and if you've enjoyed this podcast and want to donate to help fund cinema trips, donate on the donate button. All right, thank you. Yeah, that's good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
did nailed it. There. I bet you're feeling a bit nervous.
Why?
It's time for this.
Film quiz. Trivia questions. Facts. Other things. Interesting. Yes.
Well, Tom, you said you like quizzes and you're in for a treat.
Oh, yes.
Because you are now going to play the extremely popular film quiz. Now, the high score was about 2.5 until my friend Beth got 4 last week.
4, yeah.
Very difficult score when the questions are almost impossible.
She couldn't get Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I know, very difficult one. Let's start. What do you want to start with? We can go the...
Normal order, please.
The normal order. Well, I've just put them down in the order I've written them down. So,
oh, okay. That order, please.
Okay. What film is this? I'll give you the English translation and the Spanish name for the film.
Well, just give me the Spanish.
Okay. El Club de los Cinco.
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 The Club of Five.
Yes. Club de los Cinco.
5 people in a club.
Club de los
Very
Cinco.
Very interesting.
Whoa.
People at home with pens stuck in mouths. Straining like Daisy Ridley reaching for that lightsaber.
Cacking herself just a little bit. 5.
This is the sort of thing people tune in for. This me straining while you think of an answer. Can I push you for an answer, please?
Oh, the famous 5. I don't know.
It's a good. You've gone for the 5 thing. What you should have concentrated on was the club.
Oh no!
It is Breakfast Club. Difficult.
That was very difficult.
But I mean,
why wasn't it in Club del Desayuno?
Well, it should have been, shouldn't it? That's the whole thing about these translations. They're all shit. Right, here are two of my favourite actresses. Well, one of them, Michelle Pfeiffer and Kim Basinger. Who is oldest? Michelle Pfeiffer or Kim or Basinger? Is it Basinger? Or
Basinger, isn't it? I don't know.
Kim Basinger. Kim, if you'd like to phone in and tell us...
Is there a number now?
Yeah, if you'd like to just text or just... DM me how you're the correct pronunciation on
Twitter. I'm going to say her, Kim Basinger.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer was born on April 29th, 1958. Kim Basinger, December 8th, 1953.
So, a lot?
A lot, yeah. Pretty much 5 years.
Whoa.
Well done, Tom. You've got one. And then, on the Kevin Bacon Dream, which of these films was released first? The first one, LA Confidential, or Seven?
Oh, they're very close, aren't they? Because they're both about 97.
It's a year and a half between them.
I would say... Oh.
Tension mounts.
Seven. First.
Seven was released on the 5th of January, 1996. LA Confidential, 31st of October, 1997.
Yes!
Excellent, Tom. Both very difficult. And this is possible. These are, you have got difficult ones this week. Who? What actress? Is her? Is this, what is the real name of this actress? Demetria Guines. Demetria. Spelled G-U-Y-N-E-S. Demetria Guines. Guines. How do you pronounce that?
Demi Moore.
Was he right? Yes, he was.
Yes!
He's on three. Use the Demetria. Right, and here, this is a very difficult one. Beverly Hills Cop famously starred Eddie Murphy. But whom was in line originally to play Axel Foley? Whom? 1984, so someone famous around that time. Whom? And this is to equal the greatest ever score. People will be talking about you for years, Tom. And they will say your name with reverence. People will start to get tattoos of you on their sort of, not just on hidden body parts like ankles, but full on major point foreheads.
Right on their cheeks.
End of dicks, all that sort of stuff.
Do you have your end of your dick yet, usually?
But that's where people will get the tattoos.
If you said want, not hidden places, like ends of dicks.
If you want to have your face
on
the end of people's dicks, you need to get this right.
Is
that what you want, Tom?
84. But
great year.
Is it going to be someone completely different?
The clue is just someone famous around that time. Who would you pick? This is at home. Who would you pick? I mean, this is the problem.
This is tough.
This is, a lot of pressure on it as well. And people, please write in to let us know if you've ever got the perfect five on scores. And I'll assume that you were lying. I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
OJ Simpson.
That is a good guess, to be fair. But it's not. It was a white guy.
Was it Charlie Sheen? That was going to be my other guess.
Never good guess. It was Sylvester Stallone.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd have been absolutely terrible.
He was in a few. Basically, you get famous. It's the same thing in TV. Everyone goes, "Oh, well, he'd be get a guy.
Get the fuck out of here."
He wouldn't be able to do. It'd be a completely different relationship, wouldn't it, Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, with
the two guys.
With Judge, Bacci.
Yeah.
It's Judge Rinder, isn't it?
Judge Rinder. Judge Nelson, is it Judge Nelson?
No, Judge.
It's Judge. Judge Reinhold.
That's Reinhold, there. Yeah.
Judge Reinhold. Well, Tom, you scored three. It's the second best score ever.
Yeah! In your face, Lizzie Roper et al.
Oh. Well, that is it. I mean, what if people want to contact you or follow you on social media? What are you up to? Anything exciting at the moment?
Doing the Alternative Comedy Memorial Society still. Next one is 13th of January.
Where can people find out about that?
At noblefailure.org.
Noblefailure.org. Is that your website or that website?
That's the ACMS website.
And if people think, I want to know what is going on in Tom's life and what he's up to, what are his opinions on things, how do they follow you?
At TurleyGod on virtually all social media.
TurleyGod.
TurleyGod.
That was like an advert.
Spellcasting.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for coming to cinema with me.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being on the podcast. And I hope you have a great Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, I hope you're merry.
Yes, and you too, listeners. And remember, if you do one thing this Christmas,
Keep watching the films.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.